speech having any adverse effect on our negotiation. Harriman himself, one-time Democratic governor, told a newsman, earlier we're engaged in negotiations. In that capacity, I'm taking no part in the campaign. I told Cy, there's no use saying you're taking no part in the campaign, then start interpreting one man's speech and answering another man. You better just say you're taking no part, period. I also gave him a pretty good lecture about the leaks, and I find out that Ball's been over there and talking to them, and they've been being martyrs to Ball, and Ball's been, that's where he decided to quit after he'd had his conversations over there. So I told Cy that I just didn't think negotiators ought to be taking such wide latitude. They ought to carry out their president's
thought. President, the combination of these stories, I mean, I haven't seen them, the ones you're talking about, I'll get later in the day, but the combination of these stories will hurt our negotiators.
Of course it hurts. It'd beat hell. Now, you just take this from me. I'm not a diplomat. You've been in on everything Southeast Asia 25 years, but they're not going to do anything until the election. That's period. If Humphrey's elected, they're in clover. If he's not elected, then they can look and see what they want to do between me and Nixon. So you can just forget everything until then, in my judgment. Now, and I think it's done that. I think Humphrey's fuzzy speech saying it and having Ball background everybody, that it did change. And I don't think there's any question but what there's agreement between our negotiators and Ball and the Pentagon. They've been talking behind our back. That's clear from my discussions here. And now they've all settled on this one Clark Clifford pitch the other day, if you saw it. It's Ball's pitch. Ball knew about it, but Ball just said, well, he thought he'd be a little more peaceful than Clifford, you know. He just said he wouldn't require anything. Clifford requires a GVN.
Yeah.
And then they kind of laugh off the other. That is the Harriman-Ball Pentagon approach now, and that I called about from down in Texas. They're working that in, and the rest goes on assumptions. So now Cy's got a proposal this morning they'll be calling you about in a moment. His proposal is that you say to your friend, and Rostow made a mistake indicating your friend had said something to you, and I didn't acknowledge it. I just didn't say a word. I didn't discuss any of your conversation with Cy with Gromyko, because I know he's got to talk to Harriman. Harriman is like a hydrant. So, but Cy is going to say to you that he thinks you ought to say to Gromyko, and he's doing this with Averill's approval, that the real block to stopping the bombing is the GVN thing. That if they agree to GVN, that is the one thing that we need. I said, okay, what do we do about the DMZ and what do we do about cities? Well, we assume that and we tell them that we'd have to go back if they did that. I said, well, I don't buy that, but you can tell Rusk that and I'll be willing to be guided by his putting those assumptions a little stronger than you put them. I don't want them having any doubt that in effect they're agreeing to the three. If they agree to one, I don't think they'll do a damn thing till November. But for the purpose of satisfying Cy's vanity, that's something I think you ought to explore a little more.
I wondered, Mr. President, I thought about it. I thought about the conversation last night. And maybe it might be well, if you think well of it, for me to say to Gromyko, now look, you should be clear in your own mind that these three things are fundamentally important. One of them has to be a matter of a political agreement, that's the GVN. The others are facts of life and will be determined by events on the ground. Now, we can understand that you may not want yourselves to go to Hanoi on these factual points. But if you can get them to move on the GVN, we will take up directly with them the question of the DMZ and the cities, and you won't, and you yourselves don't have to emphasize that particular point, but you should be clear in your own mind so that we don't mislead you. That is our view.
That's right, and then I'd furthermore say to him that you just think that you ought to know, tell him the political system, and he's got pretty good intelligence on it, but you think you ought to tell him that no president can survive 48 hours if they're moving in the DMZ.
Last night I also told him that...
And are selling the cities.
Yeah, he asked me about the election.
Yeah.
I said, one thing you should be aware of, and that is that there is a strong conservative movement in this country now. and that anybody who thinks the ultra-liberals are getting anywhere in this election should think twice about it, because when you put together the Nixon and Wallace votes, it means that the American people are fed up with some of the fooling around here by some of these demonstrators and things like that. And these demonstrators are not speaking for the American people. Just look at the polls.
That's right. Now, the second thing is, Averill's thought is, you've got the size clearly, haven't you?
Yes.
The GVM will do the job. It'll stop the bombing. It is the cheap thing. Then we'll assume on the cities and the DMZ, and we'll retaliate if they violate either promptly. Now, I don't think he would. I think he'd be out of town not answering the phone. But anyway, that's what they say. Second thing is Averill. Averill thinks that this might be the way to do it. Tell them Wednesday we're going to stop Sunday. Stop Sunday, meet them Monday. Tell them we want the GVN in here Tuesday. If they don't come Tuesday, then we can act. That's Averill's point. Now, what I think you ought to do with Cy, just as insurance, I think you ought to make clear to him that you think the real key is the GVN,
right,
and you've got to get locked on tight. Now, he agrees with that, and tell him that they ought to quit putting out this stuff, that there's a difference between us, that this is awfully weak for the country and weak for the... It helps the communists. That's the first thing. The second thing, you say, but Cy, now, I don't want to mislead you. And you've got to know what the position is and what the president's position is and what the government is. Number one, the president thinks when this speech is made, we're not going to do anything in November. Now, if we can, that's good, but that's his judgment. Now, he thinks that you've got to wait till the election now to see. If Humphrey's elected, they can move. If he's not elected, they'll decide whether they want to move on the president's terms or wait for Nixon. Probably move on the president's term. But he thinks that. Now, the second thing is, you might as well know here and now, and you and Averill better be signed on, that you're not talking about one thing, you're talking about three.
Right.
And if you get agreement on one, he's got to think, and you've got to make him think, and he's got to believe that your judgment is sound, that the other two are in effect agreed, because if they're not agreed, in 24 hours, you're going to get some action.
Yeah.
So you ought to know that and carry out it and anticipate its consequences.
Right.
Now, Walt will call you in, but you'll be prepared. You don't need to tell him I talked to you.
All right.
He's over with Cy now.
All right.
And, but I would, if I were you, I'd certainly get the three articles, Murray Martyr, Joe Kraft, Roland Evans.
Right.
And I believe you ought to talk to Ball sometime the next day or two. Tell him, don't tell him what's going on in Gromyko, but just tell him that you're exploring this thing, and just say you're awfully disturbed that we're going to get some criticism, the Republicans, about Harriman commenting and about Harriman, in effect, writing the speech. You know, they're putting it out now that Harriman wrote the second paragraph so that he could defend it.
Yes, I think, I think Cy ought to come clean with us in terms of exactly what happened.
You better, I think you better just be a prosecuting attorney when you sit down with him and say, now, I'm Secretary of State here, and I've stayed religiously out of politics. And what I've said to one, I've said to the other. But I'm very concerned that when Dirksen's coming in and demanding he see Johnson this morning, I just got to know, when did Ball come in? What did he say? Who talked to him? He says he came over, he talked to Averill, and he talked to him. He talked to him about his resignation. He asked for their advice. He said that he just couldn't stand this other. Well, I don't think he said he'd ask for advice. He counseled with him, I think is the way he put it. Then I said, well, did he discuss this speech with you? He didn't say he did on the trip.
Yeah.
No, I said, was this speech discussed with you?
Yeah.
And he hesitated, and he flushed, and he just answered. He didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
He had to make up his mind whether he was going to lie or not. He decided, of course, he wouldn't. So I came back, and he said, yes, we knew about the speech. I said, who discussed it with you? He said, I don't remember now. I said, now, Cy, an important speech like that, and you're telling me you don't remember? I just kind of laughed at him. You're kidding? He said, well, George Ball. But that's pathetic.
Yeah.
But I think you better go over that with him, and then I think you better furthermore say that two things, that we better tighten up our operation, that you're in charge of it, the state. One is our relations with the press showing a division between them and us. That's number one. Number two, if they're going to be talking to any of these people, just please refer the balls to the State Department.
Yeah.
and just anybody else, Nixon or Humphrey or Ball or, I don't know, Ellsworth. I guess if Ball can do it for Humphrey, Ellsworth has a right to do it for Nixon, hasn't he?
Sure. Well, I'll call you again as soon as I know when my appointment will be.
Thank you.
But I'll go again.
All right. But you talk to Sutton.